Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of consciousness and I think healing and different modalities and the fact that we're moving into a whole understanding of energy medicine and different types of medicine. That's really part of an ancient tradition that me and my guests tonight have studied. I'm going to be talking to Dan Bernstein. He's an acupuncturist, but he also has a whole field he's developed called esoteric hypnopuncture and dream work. So, Dan, thanks so much for being here tonight.
Thanks for having me, Alan. It's a real pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm an acupuncturist, too, for people listening. So I didn't take it as far as you did. I mean, I loved learning acupuncture, but I never wanted to open an office and, you know, and treat people regularly. I don't know. Because I find when I was doing that, most people had lifestyle issues and, you know, acupuncture was the least of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. It's just a piece of the puzzle. So that's kind of why eventually I expanded out towards actually trance work or hypnotherapy, as some people call it, because I felt that if you could not, you know, if you could grab their minds, then you could help people immeasurably to want to change their lives, as opposed to being somebody who, you know, people come in, you put acupuncture pins in them, they feel great, they feel better for a couple of days, but then they go back to doing what they did before. So this way, I felt there was a better chance that they would continue the work on their own on a deeper level.
Well, that's right, because I mean, I remember reading somewhere that the highest form of medicine was connecting people to their passion, to their destiny, really. And so that's what the hypnotherapy part of your acupuncture does, is get them beyond their blocks. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's the goal, is to actually find, you know, for them to address, you know, where they feel lost. You know, some people feel, you know, many people feel like they're, you know, they've lost their way with their body, or perhaps, you know, they're stuck in a dead-end job, or perhaps, you know, a poor relationship, or they're emotionally stuck in anxiety or stress or depression, and so they feel lost. And so some of the, you know, the esoteric hypnopuncture work that I do is to actually create metaphors where people can start to find their way out of the darkness, okay? And so once they start seeing that there's a light at the end, it's not just the tunnel, there's a light there, and if they could start walking towards it, then they have a hope. You know, and so once you give that spark, and it's not that I give it to them, all I am is kind of a guide to show them that they are the ones who actually always had it. They just lost it somewhere along the way.
Right. But how does it actually work? How do you actually combine acupuncture with hypnotherapy? And then we'll talk about the esoteric part. But
sure.
I mean, yeah, tell me, like, are there certain points?
Well, it's an evolving science. Obviously, there's not many people who do it. But what I do, I work quite a bit with, you know, you're an acupuncturist, a great acupuncturist, and so you know about the extraordinary vessels, which are what's called the seas of energy. And so I work quite a bit with the extraordinary vessels to go from, you know, if somebody has an issue that is hidden, then I work with the deeper levels of acupuncture, the chong, if you will, you know, the... And
right.
So I use, you know, ion pumping cords to take people from the deep level to the more the external levels on an energetic level, while working with them in the metaphor level of taking them from the place of being lost deep down, you know, in a black pit to a place where there's light.
And, wow. That is interesting. I mean, I'm sure you were influenced by some people. It sounds like, though, you developed your own sort of system, which is very exciting. I had no idea. That is great.
Thank you. It's you know, as they say, it's evolving. It's been something that I've been doing for some years now, and I'm just so excited about it, you know. And it's not, I mean, the funny thing with hypnosis is that, you know, there's such an incredible misunderstanding about it because people think, oh, you know, it's, you know, some guy you get on stage and some guy makes you quack like a duck, you know. But in fact, it's more ancient than Chinese medicine. It's actually going on 5,000 years old. It's Egyptian medicine is what it is.
And I didn't know that. Where'd you find out about that? How'd you know that?
Well, I mean, if you look at... if you look up Imhotep, you know, who was the architect of some of the great pyramids, he was also a healer. And what they had in ancient Egypt was called sleep temples or dream temples.
Right.
And so what they had was people would go, you know, first they'd give them some powerful little herbs, but, you know, and then they would do various chanting. And in these sleep temples, you know, they would have these reverberating hallways that would create almost like a reverb that would kind of sonically take the person into an altered state. And then they would offer analysis of dreams, not unlike we do today, and create a healing process. And this carried on for thousands of years. And then the Greeks took it over and created the you've heard of the Oracle of, I can't remember where it is.
But Delphi?
The
Oracle of Delphi, that over
yes,
there?
Yes, exactly, the Oracle of Delphi, exactly. So that's what, okay. That was a continuation of that work. So yeah, it's been around for a long time.
Wait, so, but it's also interesting you combine it with the eight extra meridians or the extraordinary vessels, because in my learning and Jeffrey Ewan was one of the best teachers on this.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, Jeffrey talked about them being ancestral vessels, like they're part of the genetic and also probably the thought form patterns that we inherit from our lineage. So
you go deep
into that. Then you're helping to change the inherited patterns as well, because that's the Jing is the inherited essence.
Right. Yes, exactly. That's what the work is looking to do, is to shift consciousness through the energetics of the extraordinary vessels. And it's based not on my work. That's based on the work of somebody who, one of my mentors, Dan Neville in Florida, but he took Kiko Matsumoto's use of the I Am pumping cords and started working with consciousness to shift consciousness using the I Am pumping cords. So it's pretty fascinating work.
Yeah, I took a course with Kiko's old partner. What was his name? Who used
David Euler?
David,
or,
maybe. Was
or,
that one of her?
Or Stephen, what was the one who wrote?
I think, was he English or something?
Stephen Birch? Oh, yes.
Yes, yeah, Stephen Birch. Birch.
I studied with him, too. He's great.
And then I also took a course with Lonnie Jarrett, Nourishing Destiny.
Oh, interesting stuff.
Have you studied with him?
No, I didn't. I've not studied his book. It's on my list.
That would help you. I mean, it sounds like it's along the lines of what you're talking about, you know, here.
Yeah.
And so then you're saying, so it sounds like you're clearing not just personal issues, you're clearing a whole lineage, because sometimes people don't know why they're feeling depressed or whatever.
Right.
So this is really deep work. I had no idea.
Yeah, it strives for deeper. I mean, you know, and it's sometimes, you know, there are different methods. I'm sure you've heard of past life regression. We do that. And, you know, I never tell people, listen, you know, you're going back to, you know, 12 generations. You know, whatever it is, there's metaphor involved. And so whatever comes up for you is what's valuable. And it's sort of, I mean, what I'm calling, I call it lucid waking rather than lucid dreaming, you know, because in lucid dreaming, people wish to control their dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't find it as valuable. I want my dreams to be as wild and crazy as they want to be, because that's therapy for me.
Right.
But when we can begin to use the power of dreams and metaphor, seemingly random imagery, to retake control of our waking world. See, again, because so many people, I mean, I have so many people who are anxious, depressed, stressed out, and feeling helpless. You know, they're feeling hopeless, and God knows we've all been there. And so to use metaphor when they're in deep trance, it allows them to access that feeling of hopelessness, and then to take them through stages of seeing there's a crack in the door that's been stopping them, or, you know, being able to smash the boulder that's been stopping them from taking the next step in their lives, and, you know, allowing them to see that they've got the power, that they really can, you know, that the control and the power has always been there, and that for whatever reason, whether it was, you know, their great-great-great-grandparents or their parents or whoever it was that told them they couldn't take the next level, that they were stuck in their life, that was their problem, right? Mm. You know, that we're, you know, we carry our parents because we don't know any better. You know, I mean, it's what we all do, you know, and then when we start realizing that our parents are parents and they had their problems, but we have our choices, then we can stop taking the anti-anxiety medicine, the antidepressants, the Ambiens, the sleep. You know, people want to get off that stuff. And so, you know, I feel lucky that, you know, I'm able to offer an alternative.
Well, it sounds like, though, it's not just conscious, it's unconscious because it's ancestral, right? I mean...
Yes, very much. Yeah. There's a lot of that. There's so much... It's almost DNA, you know. It's in the body. It's in the neurotransmitters. You know, it goes back into the ancestry. Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh, you know, you might be interested in the family constellation work too, because that traces those family lines as well. You know,
so is that the work of, whose work is that?
Bert Hellinger. Do you know that work?
I don't know it.
Oh, that's really interesting. People act out your family drama. They actually play part people in your family, and then you can see a kind of bigger perspective. And sometimes there's like impulses that people do in the sense they're like channeling your family's energy field, and there's certain revelations that come about. I mean, it's a little different, of course, than what you're doing, but it just seems like it's...
Oh, I'm sure it's highly related. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds very Gestalt. It sounds like definitely some...
It's like Gestalt, but it also has a shamanic element to it.
Oh, okay. Right.
But no, it's all of that. But no, but getting back to your work, do you find like you use certain points to get people in conjunction with the hypnotherapy? Like, do certain points take people... into a kind of hypnotic state, or is it just
I do try and see what's going on with the person, where their energy's stuck, whether it's stuck on the, you know, there are four energy levels that I work with, which is the inner, the outer inner, the inner outer, and the outer outer. So therefore, you know, that's how I break it down, or that's how my mentor broke it down. I can't take credit for it.
Well, can you go into detail about those four?
Sure. So it's sort of like the paired extraordinary vessels, right? So, you know, the pericardium 6 and spleen 4 are the deepest levels, you know, and it goes out from there to... you know, lung 7, kidney 6, the second level, then the inner outside is the gallbladder 41 and triple heater 5. Those are like the middle level, and then the outer of the outer is the bladder 62 and small intestine 3. So it's just, you know, it's keeping it fairly basic, but some people are stuck in one level and incapable of integrating. And so I'll do paired, points. So it'll be, I might use like the, you know, the spleen 4 pericardium 6 pairing with, let's say, a further outside level that need, you know, if they're stuck inside, I want to bring them out. And so I'll pair the black, you know, red, the ion pumping cords, black, red, so that it draws them out energetically.
Mm-hmm. But how do you know which points or which meridians to work with? I mean, what clues you in?
As part of my intake, I'll do the intake. I will see what's going on with that person. If they're, mm-hmm. you know, if they're really shut down, mm-hmm. then I start pulling them, bringing them out. If they're manic, if they're, you know, talking all over the place, you know, they don't let me get in a word edgewise, you know, right. and they can't stop talking, you know, I'll kind of work to bring them closer to their true self, which is, mm-hmm. you know, state of contemplative self. So I work with whoever the, you know, whatever the, you know, and I use pulse work, I use palpation, I'll ask a lot of questions. I might do a session of hypnosis and ask, you know, sometimes in hypnosis I'll just say, you know, I'll take a person into trance and I'll say, hey, you know, there's a Google in front of you, you know, type out what's the source of my problem, and they'll type that out, and then they'll come up with the problem, you know, the solution, just purely in trance.
Well, let's get a little more specific. I mean, you don't have to mention names or cases, sure. but I'm just curious, like, what sure. kind of specific things are you helping people with?
Sure. Well, let's see. Today I had, somebody suffering from bulimia, okay? You know, it's life-threatening. And so, you know, we work first, you know, doing the extraordinary vessels at the most core basis, because that's survival. You're talking about life or death.
Like, which right. extraordinary vessels would you work on?
I'll go to the spleen 4, pericardium 6. Okay, pericardium, you know, calms the both mm-hmm. stomach and the mind. You know, spleen 4 deals with the spleen and with the ability to digest. Mm-hmm. Right. So I start there, and I'll also do, you know, there I'll do like stomach, liver as well. You know, I'll get outside right. of just the pure extraordinary vessels, right? Uh-huh. And then I may do something in hypnotherapy that actually helps them access that part of them, that core that is powerful, that is confident, because there's so much insecurity, there's so much fear there, right? And so I may add some kidney points because of the fear levels, because they should I mean, she's completely self-aware, aware of her body dysmorphia, aware that she's putting her life at risk, aware that she knows better than to do that, and yet she'll have episodes. And so, you know, she's there to get her life back, to get her, you know, she's, got so much potential, incredibly smart and just, you know, young and vibrant, you know, but still knows that she has put her life at risk several times. And so I try and, you know, access, you know, with the fear factor, obviously, through the kidneys, the uh-huh. survival of the at the most core level, and then to bring the levels of warrior woman, in this case, to the fore.
Do you go to the cause, like what create, or maybe some people say that's not necessary, but some people say
I will sometimes, yeah, absolutely. You know, if it seems like that's relevant, mm-hmm. many people, you know, it's a tricky thing, but quite a few people are survivors of abuse.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of abuse survivers in this.
There was some acupuncture protocols for abuse, like like the Lung 7 stuff, you know, the broken sequence, you know, and the connecting in the lungs, the suffering, right?
Yeah, the grief, right? The grief, the broken, the unresolved grief, you know, and yeah, I go to Lung for that for sure, you know, and it's, and at the same time, I'm also very, very, very careful to not necessarily have to, you know, not to ask the person to regress back to that situation. That's unnecessary, like you said.
Typically, well, some people would regress someone with that kind of history back.
I would be very careful. If I did, it would be using like neurolinguistic programming techniques where you actually have the person at a very, very safe distance away from it. You turn it into a motion picture, and even then, I'd be very careful because I don't ever think it's necessary to take a person back to an initial sensitizing event of
a trauma. You
like
mean
that.
Some kind of traumatic?
Man, it's like, you know, people are very, I won't call them fragile, you know, or delicate. We, you know, we're just sensitive beings, and we do not need to return. All we need to know sometimes is that they're safe, that it's their history. That they're no longer their history, that it can be, you know, I might, you know, have them go for a massage. I mean, just get it out of muscle memory, you know, because that's...
Right, good. And acupuncture, of course, also gets it out of the body memory, too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Just, you know, but sometimes, as much as I love the acupuncture, sometimes I feel the body is so defended, that it needs to actually, you know, it needs, you know, there are layers of shields going on there that need to be somehow softened, you know, in a gentle
and
way.
How do you do that with the
hypnotherapy? That's why I say I send people out for massage.
Oh, I see.
The sacral. I mean, I think muscle memory is tough. You know, muscle memory is a real thing, and you know, acupuncture is fantastic for calming people, but sometimes, you know, we don't have all the answers, you know, no one
right.
So
for someone like that you treated today, like how many sessions would they have to do, and do you see like a noticeable shift after a session? I mean, what's the response?
Well, I look to see for certain things, and they tell me their experience. Typically, you know, I would have her come for 4 sessions to see what's going on and see if there's been, you know, with the increasing distance, so that, you know, we get to see if, okay, did you almost have an episode? Were you able to control it? Was it much weaker? Were you able to use the triggers? I give people triggers to use, whether it's for anxiety.
Talk about that. So, what is a trigger?
A trigger is, in other words, when I take a person down into a deep level of relaxation, okay, this is all hypnosis is, okay? Getting somebody deeply relaxed while their mind is absolutely aware and, you know, aware of everything that I'm saying, okay? And so in that state, I can kind of install, if you will, a trigger, like I'll have them like clench a fist, I'll have them take 3 deep breaths, I'll have them do certain things that will take them right back down to that level of relaxation that they're experiencing in trance while they're awake, so that they are actually cutting that anxiety attack before, you know, the panic attack before it happens. They're already taking, you know, long, deep breaths. They're really, you know, cortisol levels spike during stress situations. So what they're doing is they're bringing down those levels as the situation arises. Another patient today was like having, you know, has panic attacks every time she starts driving, right? So I installed a little trigger so that before she gets in the car, and when she's in the car, she's doing certain things that will calm her nerves so that she's not able to spike those cortisol levels.
Uh-huh.
You know, and
so she,
and,
you,
aspect.
Yeah, go ahead. What were you saying?
No. I was going to say that, you know, and it's not magic. I mean, it works a great deal of the time. You know, sometimes people need to return for deeper levels, because sometimes some people have got a lifetime of this stuff, and they need reinforcement.
Right. So the triggers then connect people back to that highly relaxed state. So if someone's driving and they have anxiety and you put them in a relaxed state, then if they like clench their fists, then it would sort of bring back the body memory of that other state.
Exactly. It brings down it instead of the brain going immediately to panic, it has a second path that it can all of a sudden go to. It's reteaching the body and the mind, you know, it's telling it, okay, you don't have to react the same obsessive way, because the mind is weird. The mind is like a bunch of branches, you know, and all these obsessive thoughts. That's why we have a hard time as human beings. We have a hard time letting go of these obsessive thoughts, because, the mind is all these branches together, and they just want to clump together. And so every time we have every time we get up in the morning and say, oh, man, today's going to be different. I'm not going to have that anxiety. And then all of a sudden we think, oh, Jesus, my job. And boom, the brain goes right back to that old obsessive, upset thinking. And so the goal with neuro-linguistic programming or hypnosis is to create a second pathway to go, oh, no, I can actually react differently. I have a choice here. I can, I can use this little trigger, and that will bring down my stress levels. And once I can do that, then I can use this in the rest of my life to create other changes.
Oh, you might like the work of Joe Dispenza. Do you know Joe's work?
I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah, he does. He works similarly. I think that would really goes along with a lot of what you're saying.
Cool.
He wrote a book called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. He wrote a book about that.
Oh, nice.
I think he gives workshops. I might have some audios of him I could lend you.
Acupuncture is great. I mean, it does all this stuff all on its own. On a certain level, it just takes longer.
Does do it on its own. It's pretty amazing how acupuncture is so deep and transformative.
It really is.
What's the esoteric part of your work? You talk about exoteric.
Sure. Well, yeah. Some of the work that I do is been called ultra height, which is essentially work wherein I have the person access their higher self. Some people call it God self, God consciousness.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And so, basically they can, if there's like a life question, something that's keeping them stuck, first I take them, it's called ultra height, because first I take them down into deep, deep, deep trance. It's called state of coma also is what it's called, but it's not real coma. It's just taking the deep level. And then I bring them back up to where they're actually like almost flying over the cityscape. And so they go higher and higher and higher, and so that eventually they can actually access that part of them that you can call, God consciousness or higher self, and they can ask questions or communicate with that part of themselves. And it's, I call it esoteric because it's not just, it's on a different level.
Yeah, true. So you take them to their God, divine consciousness, which I totally believe in and get, and then you do, once they're there, what do you do with them there?
I simply guide them to a point where I let them know that they can ask questions, they can present a scenario that's been keeping them from moving forward in their life, and they can get solutions. So I don't provide it for them. They get it themselves.
Mm.
And so I just talk them through the process where they can actually get there on their own. And then when they feel resolved and a resolution, then I bring them back.
There were some points, I think, like when the windows to the sky points were some people. Do you use those to help access those higher divine states?
I have for sure. You know, it's that's interesting work. It's not the core of my work, but I mean, I think it's pretty fascinating stuff. I know that it really, some of it definitely opens up channels from the body to the head, you know, opens up channels in the throat and such that, you know, which is where a lot of energy is stuck, a lot of emotion gets stuck.
Uh-huh. Right. So, no, because Chris Griscom, well, a while back was using, I think it was gold needles, and gold has a certain property on the window to the sky points to take people back through regressions, past life, and all that.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. There's a lot of people doing this work that I feel like I've barely scratched the surface for sure.
Well, it's amazing you're developing a sort of unique, original body of work, though. That's sort of exciting.
It is. To me, it's exciting as hell, and I use it. I mean, I got to it through focusing on insomnia, which is kind of my specialty, because I felt that was...
Oh, well, let's talk about that. That's interesting. Sure. I mean, I get insomnia sometimes. What do you do for insomnia?
Well, again, it's all too cute, but I call it iPads, which means insomnia equals pain, anxiety, depression, or digestive issues, and stress. So I approach insomnia from those other places, if I can clear, because people who have insomnia really almost always have got one of those other things going on.
Pain, insomnia,
pain, anxiety,
digestive
issues, or depression. And stress. So I equals pads. And the reason it's, I know it's too cute, but the whole point to me is that insomnia is something that was, that's the end point, you know, but the true issue is the
problem. It's the, yeah, exactly.
And so I look to address what are the other, because the other issues I can deal with those. You know, insomnia is something that, I mean, in Chinese medicine, we do it, you know, do you have a hard time getting to sleep? Do you have a hard time staying asleep? You know, heart seven, yin tang, an yang, you know, there's certain points that are standard sleep points, you know, and they do help. Mm-hmm. But I feel the deeper work, I get a lot of insomnia patients, you know, and these are people who, you know, they're practically having a nervous breakdown because they haven't slept in 3 weeks, and you know, and they're on Ambien, and that stopped working. So,
and then they get addicted to Ambien, though, right?
They're addicted to Ambien. They're taking Ambien, and then the Ambien stops working, and so they're completely SOL. They're taking, you know, allergy medicine just to try and get drowsy. So it's a real issue, you know, and it's what's going on underneath it all, you know. So I do a lot of anxiety hypnosis. I do a lot of hypnosis to treat, you know, stress levels, anxiety. I give people supplements to treat their adrenals, because everybody in New York, I would say 80% of the people in New York, are walking around with shot adrenals.
So what kind of supplements do you give people there?
First I check their, you know, I do functional medicine. I'll check their adrenals, their thyroid, their pituitary, mm-hmm. you know, and so there are particular supplements. For instance, I mean, I do muscle testing, and I check to see what is the best supplement that will treat their fatigued adrenals, because basically, you know, the stress levels in New York are such that, you know, we're constantly getting stressed out, and everybody's like, oh yeah, stress, that's part of life. Well, guess what, you know, it doesn't have to be, but you know, everybody's in constant fight or flight mode, and so what I feed them is stuff that's got bovine, you know, I mean, it's not good for people who are pure vegetarians, because it's got some bovine adrenal in it,
You know, I love bovine myself.
There you go.
I do. I need some bovine sometimes.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. We need some, you know, once in a while, we really need to connect with, you know, like, you know, and it's all organic. And so I'm not just a believer. I mean, I see that, you know, once you start repairing people's adrenals, their sleep gets better, you know, their weight starts balancing out. I mean, you know, sleeplessness is a terrible.
It's awful. But then what do you do with, like, the hypnotherapy part and the acupuncture part with insomnia?
Right. So I look to see what's going on. Obviously, if there's pain involved, we get rid of the pain with the acupuncture. If there's anxiety, you know, I will do, you know, the standard liver 3, large intestine 4, you know, plus kidney. I do a lot of kidney stuff with sleep, like kidney 6, kidney 7, kidney 3, kidney 1.
Really, what's the difference between kidney 6 and kidney 7? I'm just curious. I mean, for those who aren't acupuncturists, they have no idea what we're talking about, but it's okay. I want to know.
Yeah, I do both. You know, there's a...
Kidney 6 is a deep
but there's
point.
A Master Dong. There's a style called Master Dong style, which I happen to love, which uses what's called Dao Ma, which is you put 2 or 3 points right next to each other in close proximity, and it strengthens, it turns it into a much, much more powerful treatment.
Oh, really? So, I've never heard of that. That makes a lot of sense.
Master Dong is so amazing.
Is he an ancient guy or is he modern, Master Dong?
It's a 2,000-year-old family style, but he lived in the 1900s. He lived in, he died in 1970, 80 or something. But amazing, amazing practice. I mean, truly, completely amazing style. I mean, way beyond any other style.
Well, that sounds revolutionary. Yeah, I mean, that sounds great.
Yeah, yeah, and it's.
So he would pile up the kidney points if you were treating.
He would exactly, and he would do them in different. You know, he would do that. Plus, he would do. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with balance. Style, Richard Tan's balance style. So basically, he would do all four areas. You know, both arms and legs sometimes, to really bring that whole thing home, to really make it that much more powerful. So I'll use those acupuncture points for sleep, typically kidney more than anything, unless you know spleen is screaming, or you know, if there's depression, I might use some gallbladder points. So it's, you know, and again, going back to the extraordinary vessels, again, using those. And then the hypnosis is basically treating, you know, again, giving people the trigger if they're anxiety-ridden or stress-ridden. If they're depressed, you know, I give them herbs. And if it's digestive issues, I'll do acupuncture and herbs. So, you know, it's...
That's great that you have a great protocol for insomnia.
It's one of the toughest things. Especially since the advent of Ambien, people start getting hung up on. But you know, I've noticed that people who are willing to wean themselves off the Ambien, they come in. For treatment, and they start getting better. You know, the toughest cases, I'm sometimes amazed.
Do you have to detox them from the Ambien? You have to get them off the Ambien before you can treat?
You know, it's a tough one. The Ambien's a tough one. I ask them to get a pill splitter, you know, and then if they're taking, some people are taking 2 Ambiens, you know, and I just start getting them, you know, a week to 10 days, and that to get a quarter less, you know, to take a quarter of an Ambien less every week to 10 days, then another quarter less, and so the body's not flipping out, you know, because it really is a drug. It's a very
addictive
drug.
It's so outrageous.
You know, doctors, they don't tell people that you're only supposed to take it for 21 to 23 days. That is the absolute maximum that a person should be prescribed Ambien, and people are on them for months and years.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's
So you start to get them off Ambien. You do a lot of let me just review the kit, the adrenal. You're charging the adrenals, so they're.
I'm repairing the adrenals. Okay. Right. Depending on what sort of insomnia they have. I mean, you know, it can be a deficient insomnia, and it can be an excess insomnia. It can be sympathetic dominance, or it can be a parasympathetic, you know, adrenal deficiency. Let's put it that way. So we're doing the acupuncture that supports that. You know, in other words, is it a heart excess? Is it a fire and water imbalance? You know, we're looking at what's going on with a person on a core level, and then I feed them herbs, powerful, you know, good Chinese herbs.
What's a good herb for, like, you know, that kind of like adrenal exhaustion? You know, like what Chinese herbs?
Well,
it's the yang building
one,
herb.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Good one, Suanzao Rantang, that's a good one, you know, I mean, it's kidney tonics, you know, I wouldn't go there because you don't want to explode the energy. You want to really make it just gentle adrenal repair.
Wow.
You know, you don't want to give them.
It's great you've really taken and developed a real sensitivity. I don't think I've ever developed that level of sensitivity, but it's great.
Well, Alan, you have. I mean, you've worked on me. You're great. You know, you're a great. You were a terrific acupuncturist, and I'm sure you still are. And I'm sure that you know you. And yet, you're also a media celeb. So God bless, man. You know.
Right. No, I prefer the media just because you know. Like I said, I don't know. I just didn't have the patience for. I mean, I like working on friends. I still do a lot of acupuncture on friends,
I'll be honest with you. I burned out at one point. I mean,
yes.
I stopped work. I stopped the work altogether at one point, and I had to reformulate my chi, and also, I mean, recharge my chi, and also reformulate why I was doing it. You know, I really realized if I could be of service, that was what made me happy. And when I really, really, really came to that place, I've been absolutely in love with the work since then. I mean, I feel so
well.
Blessed.
That's great. I mean, yeah, I get that. I mean, I feel like I can be of service like this more. I mean, for me. You know,
right, exactly. Whatever work, listen, you know, I mean, I get it. I mean, I was a musician and I felt like if I could connect in front of an audience, I did the same, you know, music is the same as acupuncture. You know, you're moving energy, you're making people, it's the same kind of thing. And so it's whatever medium you find, I think that's what we're supposed to do in life, is find the medium that works for us.
Right.
You know?
And
it
I enjoy
a lot of fits and starts sometimes, you know.
Yeah. But you enjoy helping people, you know, because you're a good guy. I like helping people. I think that's why people get into it. I mean, I don't know why doctors do it. They don't seem like, you know, most. There are some good doctors out there.
I think they lose their way sometimes because they realize that the way to make a living is they have to prescribe. I mean, they have no cures. What a horrible state of existence, you know, to have gone to school for 12 years and then realize that you're stuck with a prescription pad, man.
Yeah,
you know,
that's why alternative medicine is so powerful and such a important part of our evolving consciousness, our evolving culture, because it's about keeping people well also.
Exactly. It's a different modality of, you know, it's keeping people well rather than it's the wellness model rather than the sickness model, the illness model. So
exactly. Also, I want to tell people you're going to be speaking. I know it's not till October, but I think you're going to be speaking at the New Life Expo in New York.
I am. And if anybody's interested in contacting me, my website is www.bluephoenixwellness.com. Mm. And if they want to look at my sleep, my insomnia, my sleep disorder website, that's sleepspecialistnyc.com. But
Sleep specialist?
Sleep specialist NYC.
Oh, right. You know, a lot of people have like sleep apnea, the opposite.
Exactly. Restless leg syndrome. Sleep apnea is a little more difficult. There is a physiological issue involved, but I do help people who have sleep apnea to relax their muscles. But there's a lot of sleep disorders out there. I mean, people who are just, they'll wake up in the middle of the night and they'll go, oh, I'm afraid I won't be able to go back to sleep. And that'll kick up the whole process. So.
But I wanted to ask you, what are you going to be speaking about specifically at the expo in October?
I'm going to be focusing on the sleep work. That is my specialty, and the related anxiety and stress aspects of it. Because I feel like that's important work. I'm finishing a book right now.
You are about sleep?
Yeah, on how people can help themselves with sleep issues. It's using everything from qigong, teaching people how to meditate, certain acupressure points they can use, breathing exercises, journaling, because we underestimate our need for sleep, but it's pretty important stuff. It's mental health.
What's her name? Just wrote a book on sleep. Arianna.
I know
Huffington.
Arianna Huffington, and her stuff is good, but it doesn't really give you.
It was a one joke book. She just basically said in like 200 pages, "You need to sleep." I totally agree. I love sleeping. What do the Chinese say about sleep and energy and rapid eye movements and dreaming? I mean, you talked about the Egyptian, but what do the Chinese, the ancient ones say about that, the power of sleep?
Yeah, well, it's about the liver energy, has to rest at night. And, and it goes into the palace, which is the heart, and so they talk about actually sleeping on the right side, actually, because that way you're not putting pressure of all the blood going into the heart.
Oh, that's interesting. I never heard that. That would make for a more peaceful, relaxed sleep.
If one can sleep on one side. the right side is the better one.
It's important. This stuff is really important, especially for people having problems or whatever,
Sure, and I talk a lot about nutrition, how people can better eat for sleep, to not have carbs at night because that turns into sugar, which excites the body. And if people wake up or need to eat something, a little bit of protein, maybe some nuts or maybe just a tiny little bit of chicken or something to really be aware of the things that makes the body want to shut down and what makes it want to start up again.
Well, what do you say about the coffee epidemic that's been happening maybe the last... Really? I mean...
It's amazing. I mean,
is that a good... I mean, I can't drink it because if I drink coffee, even decaf, I'm up for 3 days. So I never have that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm good in the morning. I'm an imperfect healer, what can I tell you? I have a triple shot of... Dominican espresso in the morning.
And that doesn't keep you, that would keep me up for a week. That doesn't bother you?
No, by night I'm pretty sleepy at night. I've got to tell you. I mean, I am not a perfect sleeper. And that's sort of what got me into the whole thing. But I mean, that was, for me, it was more, I went through a period of deep anxiety where I was waking up at 4:30 in the morning. As we know, that's all kidney related stuff, but it's deep anxiety and so I had to retrain, I had to do a lot of treatments on myself and go to an acupuncturist, and I had to learn how to meditate again after not having done it for years. And, you know, and there are ways that we can self-hypnotize. I mean, that's another thing in this book that I'm writing. I teach people how to do self-hypnosis because it's not impossible. You know, it's better to learn it with a practitioner, but not impossible to do it on our own. It's just a little more difficult. So, but it's, you know, we have this amazing capacity in our minds, Alan, as you know. I mean, as you know better than I do, because you're always talking with people who have these vast minds who have done these amazing things, you know. And so I'm still always amazed about that the mind is so powerful.
Yeah, the mind is, you know, and attitudes create chemicals in the body. How we feel affects our moods, and I mean, and we could shift that by the use of our mind, for sure. For sure.
It's true.
I want to ask you one more question about the coffee thing. How does like coffee affect adrenals and different organ meridians?
Well, it's not great for the adrenals. I mean, what it does is it creates a spike, and then it drains the adrenals. I mean, really, the adrenals, you know.
I know someone who drinks really like 12 cups of coffee a day, and he's not bothered. He's perfectly functional. I guess the body gets used to that too, though, huh?
Right. I think so. I mean, I don't know how it is for longevity. I mean, but I suppose that if you've got the right constitution or the right attitude, you can live, you know, 100 years old and drink your 12 cups of coffee. I don't know. I think everyone's got a different constitution. I mean, me, I'm pretty sensitive to whatever goes into my body. I wish I weren't, you know, but if I have an aspirin, I can feel the shift. But that said, I love the coffee because it gets me motivated for the full day, pretty much, you know, and I...
No, I'm just curious. I mean, we're almost out of time, but I just have to ask you this question. What do you think the best thing is for longevity and nourishing the jing? And, you know, I know what Ma Tachia says. He says, hold that ejaculation. But
yeah, he says that exactly.
But what do you say from all your research about nourishing jing and getting the jing
to
the...
I think most of those, you know, a lot of those acupuncturists, you know, they will take kidney nourishing tonics, you know. As they get older, they nourish the kidney yin and the kidney yang, you know.
Interesting. Like, what's a good kidney nourishing tonic? Would that be like a ginseng?
Yogui-wan is great for the right kidney, for a kidney yang. Yogui-wan is a wonderful prescription. Dabu Yin Wan, you know, they're, you know, Lu Wei is if you've got some kind of, you know, heat issues, you know, like, you know, people very often would have sleep issues and they're kidney deficiency, so they, you know, they tend to kick their covers off at night, you know, and they have these false heat issues and they've got what's called Cox Crow insomnia. They wake up, you know, at the break of day because their yin is not fully sunk in, you know. So, you know, but yeah, I mean, to me, it's a kidney. What do you think? I mean, you're a healer.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know what? If I have dookie beans really nourish a kidney. I like to use foods as well.
Totally. Totally.
Adduki beans are like medicine for the kidneys.
Absolutely.
Also, you can't find it anymore, but watermelon seeds. You know, there's so much GMO watermelon out there. It's
awful. It's disgusting.
And you cannot find a watermelon that has seeds anymore.
I know. I have the same complaint. I really do.
They don't taste as good, these new watermelons.
They don't. No, they're flat. And besides, I mean, good God, you know, what 10-year-old didn't want to use spit them at their friends?
Right, right. But also, Qigong, I think you're right, is also a really powerful tool.
Qigong is the most amazing healing tool in the known universe, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, that's what got me into Chinese medicine. I mean, to be able to, you know, to move that energy around, absolutely, absolutely wonderful. You know, whether you withhold the sperm or not, I don't care. keep doing the Qigong and you'll be feeling pretty good.
Well, which form of Qigong do you use?
You know, I like Master Chu, you know, that style. I practiced for a long time, Montauk Chia, the microcosmic orbit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever, did that form of meditation.
I did have done that. I've been doing the Yan Qin Qigong. You know Yan Qin? X-A-N... Is that... No, Y-A-N-X-I-N. Yan Qin. He's a master. Okay. Master.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I did it for a long time. I did the Neigong, actually. It was the Neigong style, which was Master Chu. But, now, is this a Chinese style? From China or from... Is it in this country?
No, China. This guy's a real... It's sitting Qigong. It's like you just keep your hands, you extend your heart meridian with your little finger, and you just sit. It's a kind of internal Qigong, but very...
Okay. Well. That's sort of what the Montauk Chia, the microcosmic orbit, is very much. It's that sitting style.
Yeah,
just move that energy
like
through the body.
We're almost out of time, so tell people how to reach you.
They can either call me directly, 212-777-7191, or email me at drbernsteinnyc@gmail.com. It's drbernsteinnyc@gmail.com. Or just go to my website, bluephoenixwellness.com.
Blue Phoenix. Blue Phoenix.
Yeah, I'm downtown, but I do Skype and consultations and such. And,
you do Skype?
Alan, I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to just chat with you and get the message out. And, I've been listening to you and watching you for years and think you're just a treasure, man.
Thank you. Well, it's always good. Well, you're a good friend, and I think you got me my first acupuncture job in New York at Dr. Kaplan's place.
Yes. That was a wild thing, but yes, it was.
That wasn't acupuncture. That was darts. I love that.
That was darts, absolutely.
That was amazing. What would we do, four people in an hour from room to room?
Yeah, for two guys who basically had been at it for maybe 6 months or something. All of a sudden, you're thrown into the line.
You know, that actually sort of turned me off. I mean, it was kind of exciting at first, but it kind of turned me off. It's like, I don't think I want to do this every day. You know?
Unfortunately, wasn't a healing. Well, I still wouldn't see four people an hour. I mean, I sometimes see two people an hour. For me, that's fine. You know, that's just it. You know, acupuncture. I much prefer doing the hypnopuncture, because I get to be with a person for the full time.
I mean, I was at Harbin Hot Spring once, and I did about 10 people laying down in a row. They were all laying down. That was really fun, you know?
Yeah. I can't imagine why. It was Harbin Springs. Gee, how... that must have been rough.
Yeah, that was fun. Everyone's just
walking. That was rough. But no, it can be so much fun. I mean, it really, with the right attitude and the, learning to protect one's own energy, which, took me years and years and years to learn, to actually not, to create boundaries so that they were not sucking my lifeblood, which is what it used to feel like in the beginning.
Right. We have to go, Dan.
Anyway, listen, thank you again for the opportunity. Great talking with you, Alan.
Great talking to you. I'll see you around. Give a call maybe this week. Just want to tell people I've been talking to Dan Bernstein, a New York acupuncturist. You could, bluephoenix.com is your major website.
.com, and they can just go there and they'll find all the info they need. And if they have any questions, free consults. Thanks again, Alan. Appreciate it.
Thanks. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, and thank you for listening tonight. And email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Check my website, newrealities.com. Check my YouTube, youtube.com/newrealities.